That's right. Has everyone had a good night so far? Yeah, some good topics? Right. I appreciate you joining me after lunch. It's the worst time for what's going to be a fairly technical session. Just to make sure everyone's in the right place for either some things about identity or a quick snooze. So everyone's in the right place? Yeah, great. Snooze? Thank you. It's very helpful. All right. The session we're talking about today is identity, what you need to know to be in the Microsoft Cloud. My name is Mark Rhodes. I'm a Premier Field Engineer and I work at Microsoft. My area of expertise is Azure Active Directory. So as you can imagine, identity is fairly close to my heart. And I think identity is becoming more and more important. Is there anyone who disagrees with that statement? Over the last year or so, you might have started hearing things like identity is a new security perimeter. Has anyone heard that? Yep. Identity is suddenly becoming extremely relevant. And up until previously, identity in the Microsoft Cloud space was really about setting up DirSync so that you could get your Exchange mailboxes online. Has anyone done that? Is that what your organization looks like? You just next through DirSync, you've got an Exchange mailbox in the cloud. So the identity side of things has been neglected. It's not as secure as it could be. It's not as well understood as it could be. And fortunately for us, the product group is advancing Azure Active Directory, and Azure Active Directory Connect very rapidly. So that's what we're going to focus on in this session. I think I just skipped a slide there. Doesn't matter. There was meant to be an agenda slide. We'll skip that. My agenda today is to talk to you primarily about Azure Active Directory Connect. Is that the subject people would like to hear something about?
Yeah?
Great. We're going to be focusing on two specific parts of it. We're going to be focusing on something called pass-through authentication, and we're going to be focusing on something called seamless single sign-on. Can I just get a quick show of hands? Has anyone been to my talk on this last year? Anyone? Fantastic. Okay, last year, I did a very similar talk, except we took it back to a level 200 talk, and I took you through how to use Azure Active Directory Connect to set up ADFS. And we set up ADFS in full, load-balanced, completely working in under 15 minutes using AAD Connect. We're not going to do that in this instance. We're going to set up pass-through authentication and seamless single sign-on in a highly available fashion, and we're going to do it in a very quick manner. I'm going to take you through it in a second, and we'll go from zero to everything working, and you'll see exactly how easy it is. So before we go any further, let's talk about the cloud identity models in the Microsoft Cloud. Now, the first of which is going to be Office 365 Synchronized Identity. Sorry, I should say Azure Active Directory, but that's fine. The synchronized model is also called password hash synchronization. Has anyone heard of that? Yep, a few people nodding. All right, I'll go through what each of these mean a little bit further just to get you up to speed. The next one we have is federated identity. This is where you've got ADFS servers in the mix. You're synchronizing your usernames, you're synchronizing your, well, you might be synchronizing passwords, but all of your user information from an on-premises Active Directory directly up into Azure Active Directory. And then anytime someone's trying to authenticate, they're pushed back to an on-premises location, an ADFS proxy server usually, or an ADFS server, in order to perform the authentication. So in that manner, your passwords never leave the boundary of your data center. And the last one is this new one called pass-through authentication. Now, this has only been released for about 2 months, and it's still in preview. Has anyone heard of this? Yeah, is anyone using it yet? No? Okay, that's fine. Let's quickly talk about what Azure Active Directory Connect is. Now, Azure Active Directory Connect is the primary tool from the Microsoft Azure AD people to synchronize and manage your user identities and get them up into Azure Active Directory. Is there anyone in the room using DirSync? Is anyone in the room using AD Sync on its own without AAD Connect? I thought I saw a hand somewhere. Yep, there's one hand up there. Okay. Unfortunately, DirSync and AAD Sync were deprecated in April of last year. Which means end of support is a couple of months away, April 13th, 2017. Now, from that point onwards, if you're using DirSync or AAD Sync and you call Premier Support, you call Microsoft Support, in order to get some help, they're going to ask you to please upgrade to AAD Connect before you can do anything. The good news is it's not a scary experience. right? You just install AAD Connect on top of the existing server. There's an asterisk there. I'd be happy to discuss it more if you're running older versions of Dersing. And it will take whatever you've got there and upgrade it to the latest version. Come and have a chat to me if you're confused about that, if you're scared about upgrading. If you're really scared, run it up on a separate server alongside and do a migration across to it. It's very easy to do. But this is a public service announcement, so make sure that you upgrade this. It's critically upgraded if you're running DirSync or AAD Sync. Okay, let's talk about the synchronized identity model or the password hash synchronization model. In the synchronized identity model, your user accounts are being pushed up by an agent. Now, that agent happens to be a customized version of the FIM or the MIM engine, and it's simply pushing up those user accounts into Azure Active Directory. While that's happening, you can also have another tick box, which is where you're synchronizing your password hashes. Now, this is not password synchronization. I want to be very clear about that. The reason why it's not password synchronization is it's password hash synchronization. Let's get a quick show of hands. Who knows what a hash is? Okay, there's a few people who didn't put their hand up, so I might just explain it very quickly. A hash is a one-way mathematical algorithm. I like to explain it to people as this. Let's say you've got a very common mathematical function called a modulus, right? Or modulo. If you understand this, so let's say modulo is where you say, take a number, like 27, right? And you say 27 modulo 10, the answer is going to be 7. What it is it's dividing it by 10 and only taking the remainder. You discard the primary and just keep the remainder. So 27 modulo 10 is 7. What's 37 modulo 10? 57 modulo 10. So would you agree with me that that's a one-way function? There's no way you can possibly get from the 7 back to 27 or 37 or 57. That's effectively a hash, right? It's a very simple example, but it's effectively a hash. It's a one-way operation. When you run a number through a hash, you get something called a digest, right? That's the output of your hash. Now this, for everyone in the room who's got Active Directory, you've already got stored inside Active Directory a SHA-1 or a SHA-2 hash, SHA-1 or SHA-2 digest. That's for your password, right? Whenever you change your password, that gets updated. Now we're going to take that, or rather the Azure Active Directory Connect synchronization engine is going to take that digest, which we've already discussed is a one-way operation. There's no way you can get back to the password from it. And it's going to take that and run it through another hashing algorithm, an even better one called SHA-256. Right? Then it's going to take that digest, so effectively double hashed, and upload that into Azure Active Directory. So when you go and sign in, or your users sign in to, say, portal@microsoftonline.com, they put in their username and they put in their password. What's happening there is that password is being hashed to a digest, then hashed again, all up in the cloud, you don't have to worry about it, and then that's being compared with a digest that's been uploaded with Azure Active Directory Connect. Right? At no time is your password ever going up into the cloud, only that digest, or the double digest is. Does everyone understand that? Yep, does that sound reasonably secure? Is there anyone in the room that would say, that's not secure enough for me? We've got one person up there, anyone else? Yeah, another person up there. There are organizations that this is not secure enough, right? They can't have a password hash, password digest, whatever you want to call it, stored in the cloud or a password stored in the cloud. So if they're in this boat, they need another mechanism. And that mechanism is currently the federated identity model. Now, in the federated identity model, it's exactly the same that your user accounts are being synchronized up into Azure Active Directory. Your password hashes may or may not be synchronized. It's not mandatory, it's an option. But anytime you go to portal.microsoftonline.com and you type sign in, you put in your username, and your username is usually in the form of a user principal name or an email address. And as soon as you finish putting in that field, a little bit of JavaScript picks up that you've put it in or tabbed off it, and it says for, in my case, mark@mroads.net, is that mroads.net domain a federated domain? And if it is, it's going to immediately redirect me to a pre-registered ADFS server that's on my premises, right? Or an ADFS proxy server on my premises. That's where the authentication is going to happen behind the scenes. I have to enter my username and password, or if I'm using a machine that's joined to the domain, it's going to kind of magically do that for me, and I'll just see a bit of a flicker, and then it'll redirect me back to portal.microsoftonline.com with a valid token that allows me to sign in. If you're using federated services, there are a few sign-in scenarios. So if you're inside your corporate network and you're on the corporate domain, you know, your machine's signed in and you're using a corporate domain account, it's going to be single sign-on-like experience. If you're off the corporate domain, it's going to prompt you for authentication. And unfortunately, when it does that, does anyone know what protocol it's going to use? No, NTLM, which is a less than ideal protocol given that Kerberos has been trying to replace the NTLM protocol for a long time, since Windows 2003, I think it is. And lastly, if you're on the public internet, no matter what, whenever you try to authenticate, regardless of if you've got ADFS, it's going to redirect you to your ADFS proxy servers. Now, the ADFS proxy servers give you a nice, pretty HTML login page, you know, a username and password box that you fill in. Those are the three sign-in scenarios. Now, the one that concerns me the most out of all those are the Windows authentication bit, right, because it's not as secure as it could be. I should also mention that if you've got federation, a lot of people like to synchronize their password hashes up into the cloud just in the event that their federation servers go offline. If the federation services go offline due to, say, a data center failure, they can always run a quick PowerShell command that flicks everything back over to the synchronized identity model, which allows users to keep using their email, Skype for Business, whatever applications they've got in the Microsoft cloud without interrupting them just because the data center's gone down. Okay, we've gotten to the meat of this now, so let's talk about pass-through authentication. Now, Azure Active Directory pass-through authentication, which is currently in preview, allows you to sign in to an on-premises directory without having your password hashes synchronized to the cloud and without having any ADFS servers. Does that sound pretty good? You're actually validating your user credentials against your on-premises directory and nothing's stored in the cloud. No passwords are stored in the cloud. No hashes are stored in the cloud. You don't need ADFS server infrastructure. For those of you who don't have ADFS server infrastructure, you're probably going to need at least two ADFS servers, two proxy servers, and load balancers to deal with that. But that's infrastructure you don't really need to be adding on premises. So this allows you to get around that particular problem. And it does it by using something called the Azure Active Directory Application Proxy. How does pass-through authentication actually work? Well, the short version is, as you can see here, we've got Contoso CorpNet down the bottom right and Azure Active Directory STS in the middle there. So when a user goes to sign into a page, and they might be signing into portal.microsoftonline.com, they're entering a username and their password. That username and password is sent to a connector. And by a connector, what I'm referring to is actually behind the scenes, it's an Azure Active Directory, an Azure Service Bus queue, right, which you can't see. It's not in your tenancy. It's in a Microsoft tenancy that you don't have to worry about or pay for. But the username and password sent into this queue. And at the same time, the username and password login page is continuously polling, waiting for an update. And what happens is the connector is notified of a request. Now, a connector is an agent that's been installed on one of the servers in your data center. And what happens is the connector validates the credentials that have been sent through to Azure Active Directory against your on-premises Active Directory. Your domain controller returns a result. In that case, it's saying, yes, you're allowed, or no, you're not allowed. And then the connector is smart enough to push back up into its other service bus queue a response saying, I found a valid authentication request or an invalid one. Here's the response. And just like that, the result is returned to AAD and a token is returned back to the user account if any further proofs are needed. So you can initiate multi-factor authentication after this has taken place. Now, the magic of this is that to do this kind of operation, all I need to do is install a 4 megabyte agent on a server. I don't need to expose any firewall ports. I don't need to expose anything publicly. It's all outbound communication. So if you can see that the connector there, that connector is continuously polling a service bus queue up in the cloud, right? And it's doing so in a secure manner. So all connections are made outbound. Does that sound like a better way of dealing with it than publishing endpoints for ADFS? Yep. And can anyone see another advantage of this mechanism? If it's all outbound communication, can you think of another? Well, it does improve security, you're right, because you've got no endpoints exposed. but there's no entry points. But there's another one. Think about load balancers. If you've got agents that are sitting on a server, very lightweight agents, I'll get to you in a sec, very lightweight agents sitting on a server and continuously polling outbound, all you have to do is install that agent on another server, right? And that's your load balancing. You don't have to worry about it. You can install it on 20 servers if you wanted to. Yes, you had a question. It is, can I answer that later? I'll answer that later. I'll come back to it because it's covered in, yep. All right, the supported scenarios for this are rich clients that utilize modern authentication. So I'm talking about your Office clients that are using the 8L libraries. I'm also talking about browser-based passive web flows. For any browser application, pretty much works with this. Currently not supported is Windows 10, Azure Active Directory, joined devices. That doesn't work at the moment. If you're an Azure AD joined device, it is going to fall back to another mechanism. So it will fall back to password hash synchronization. So when you're setting this up, I would recommend that you synchronize your passwords as well, as long as that's not a hard requirement. If it is a hard requirement, you might have to live with it. Now, there are workarounds too for legacy applications, which are in preview, and that's that you can migrate to modern authentication capable clients. Alternatively, if you synchronize password hashes to Azure AD, it will automatically fall back as soon as you hit an unsupported client. So what's the experience like for this? The experience is identical to password hash synchronization. You can't tell the difference except that it can sit there a little bit, tiny bit longer while it's polling back and forward from the servers. In my experience, there's no difference. Was anyone in my session yesterday? I think I saw a hand. The guy presenting with me was there. Fantastic. Thank you. What he didn't know was I'd actually kicked our tenancy over to use password authentication. And even though it's not supported with PowerShell, it was working just fine because it fell back to password hash synchronization. It's that seamless a experience that we didn't even realize it. And again, what do I need to expose? Nothing. I don't need any published endpoints, holes in my firewalls, load balancers, nothing like that. I don't need any public IPs. All I need is an outbound internet connection on port 443. Versus this? Yeah, I'm going to come back to that towards the end, so thank you. All right, let's kick over to my demo machine, and what we're going to do is we're going through a demo of setting this up from beginning to end, testing it, and then testing the load balancing. So, as you can see, I'm on a machine here. You can see inside this farm, I've got a domain that has a few users in it. Can everyone see that all right? Can I get a thumbs up from out the back somewhere, if you can see it? Great, thank you. I've got a few users. There's only about 25 active users here, and I'm going to use those and synchronize those up to the cloud. But first, I'm going to show you that this is a completely empty tenancy. As you can see, I'm in Azure Active Directory in Azure and in the portal. And you can see under all users, I've only got an administrative account here, right? So there's nothing up there currently at all. So if we jump back over to my server, what I'm going to do is start off by installing Azure Active Directory Connect. Okay, looks like that's installed successfully. And that'll open up the wizard. Okay, I'm going to say that I agree to the license terms and all that stuff. Click continue. Now at this stage, I'm being prompted for customize or use express sessions settings. Now, if you're in my session last year, I told you to customize. I'm going back on that. Someone in disagreement? I'm going back on what I said. Did you just try to throw a chair at me? Because I can take it. All right, so I went back on what I was saying last year, which was customize. Now, the reason why I said customize is because previously, hitting customize would allow you to make changes. That's gone. If you hit express, you can make changes as well. And there's an added benefit, which I'll talk about later. So I'm using express for now. Okay, so you can see I'm connecting up to Azure Active Directory. This isn't the connector, this is Azure AD Connect. I will go through an installation of the connector separately so you can see what that looks like. Okay, I'll enter my on-premises user account. And I just realized, because I've made a mistake here, you know how I said not to use Express? Express would usually work in a different version of the client that I've got here. So, thank you, that's very handy. So I'm going to go customize, sorry about that, but I will tell you why to use Express later when this comes out of preview. You'll notice I'm not changing anything there, I'm just hitting install, just because it'll give me more options. While this is going, if anyone has any questions that I'm not going to cover off later, which you won't know, I'm happy to answer them. Does anyone have any questions while we wait? How big is the database? It's actually installing a copy of the SQL Express behind the scenes. Now, from memory, that has a maximum database size of 10 gig, right before it, that's what this license allows. The only thing you need to know about is if you never clear your synchronization runs, now this is a FIM or a MIM concept, then that database is going to keep growing over time. There are scripts you can download that will make sure that you clear the runs just through PowerShell if you run them on a scheduled basis, and that will keep your database from getting too big. I would recommend that you do that, say, once every 2 weeks or so. All right, that's finished up. Now you can see here, slightly different page, right, which is good because otherwise the demo would have been quite bad. I can select pass-through authentication, and you can see automatically down the bottom, it's ticked for me, enable single sign-on. Now, both of these features are in preview, and you can see down the bottom it's saying we recommend this account be a cloud-only company administrator account. That's fine. We're fine for that. So we'll just click Next. It's going to ask me to connect. I'll just put my admin password in. So what it's doing is it's connecting to Azure Active Directory. It's seeing the configuration that I've got for my domains there, whether or not they're federated domains, managed domains, etc., making sure that all works. And then what it's going to do is it's going to validate that against my Active Directory. So what I need to do here is enter my domain admin password. So. Okay, and it's added the directory. It's a bit misleading there. Looks like it hasn't, but down the bottom it's configured a directory. So click Next. And now it's just going to go and check and make sure my sign information is correct. You can see I've got a verified AD domain that matches my UPN suffix, which is emodes.net, and it's going to use the user principal name as the primary on-premises attribute to synchronize with the cloud. I'm going to next through this and just go select all domains, no AU filtering. I'm going to assume that I've only got the one directory, so all users are only represented once through the directories. If you've got more than one directory, this is where you can specify secondary directories. And I'm going to synchronize all users and devices inside the forest. Now you can see automatically it's ticked password synchronization, right? I'm going to leave that there for now just to show you what happens. And I'll click Next, and it's going to ask me again just to enter my domain admin creds. And I can click Next. And it's ticked for me, start the synchronization process when configuration completes. So as soon as this is finished, it's going to kick off a synchronization run, which will hopefully push all my identities up into the cloud. So we'll click Install, and we'll leave that go because it's going to take a little bit of time. So we'll come back to the demo in a few minutes. Picking an identity model. Now, as we said earlier, there are three different identity models, and each of them have their own benefits. We've got the synchronized identity, or password hash synchronization. We've got federated identity, or the ADFS model. And we've got pass-through authentication, which is the one we're talking about right now with lightweight connectors. What are the considerations for choosing your authentication options? Well, if you want to know where the authentication happens, with password hash synchronization, it's in the cloud. With ADFS, it's on-premises. With pass-through authentication, it's on-premises. Before we go on to, I can see a few people taking pictures of slides. These slides will be available for download. They've already been uploaded, so you can grab them and go through them. And they've also got some notes in them too, so you can get a bit more information. I won't go through all of these, but really that top line is probably the most concerning to most people. Where does the authentication happen? With password hash synchronization, it's in the cloud. With ADFS, it's on-premises. With pass-through auth, it's on-premises as well. I've included these really for you to go through after the session. So let's talk about when to choose synchronized in very simple terms. Well, if you've got existing user accounts, which most people do, if you want to save credentials in Credential Manager, that's a valid use of this. If you've got an Outlook that doesn't support single sign-on, so older versions of Outlook, a valid use of this. This is going to be the recommended approach for most people. It's the easiest one to get going. If you hit Express right now, in that wizard, it's going to take you through and install this mode for you. Let's move on to when to choose federated, because this is the bigger question. When do I choose federated over the synchronized model? If you've got ADFS already deployed, it's a no-brainer. You're going to go straight towards this. If you've got a third-party identity provider, you're going to be moving towards this. If you've got on-premises multi-factor auth or smart card requirements, you're going to be moving towards ADFS. If you want to audit sign-in or immediately disable users, this is one of the use cases. Pass-through authentication will do the same thing. If you've got client sign-in restrictions, for instance, you don't want clients to sign in out of hours or from specific IP ranges, this will allow you to do that. And if you've got a policy preventing password synchronization or password hash synchronization, this is the one to pick. But, as I said, pass-through authentication does the same thing. And lastly, this is one of the reasons to consider it. If you've got hybrid search for SharePoint Online, this is the model that's supported. I haven't heard anything about the other models being supported, but I'm not really a SharePoint guy anymore. When to choose pass-through authentication? If you don't want to have ADFS infrastructure in your data center and you don't want to synchronize passwords, this is a great option. If you want to do high availability but you don't want to have a load balancer, if you want to have audit, sign-in, or immediately disable users, this is going to work for you as well. And lastly, if you've got a policy preventing password sync. So if you really want all of these things, this is the model that you're going to be moving towards or gravitating towards. But my approach is always choose the simplest model that meets your needs. So if you can synchronize password hashes, use the synchronized identity model. If you can't, use pass-through authentication. Those are my nice, simple options. Okay, let me just see how this demo is going. Okay, it's saying the configuration is complete. You can now log into Azure or Office 365 portal to verify the user accounts from your local directory have been created. So let's exit. And let's just see to make sure it has synchronized. And we can do that by drilling down and getting to the actual client behind the scenes. It'll show what's happening with the synchronization engine. And you can see, literally 1 minute ago, it's done a full export, and it added 22 accounts up into Azure Active Directory. So we should be able to verify this by just closing off this blade, going to Azure Active Directory, and going to all users. So you can see those users have been synchronized. And pass-through authentication should have been configured. So what we can do now is we can do a quick test here. And we'll just go to portal.microsoftonline.com. And we'll enter a user account, so danj@emroads.net. And we'll hit tab. Now you can see it didn't redirect me. Right, and you guys have seen me set it up, so you know it's not just synchronized identity model. We've just validated against on-premises Active Directory without exposing anything, and it was relatively quick, wasn't it? Okay, let's do a bit of a test here, shall we? Let's take down the server that I just installed this on. So I could ask you to be creative in how to take this server down. I don't think that's the best idea for a demo, so I'm just going to shut this one down. Oh, come on, really? All right, look. That's just typical, isn't it? Let me just jump in services and see if there's an agent I can shut down. Because I don't really want to disable a network adapter on an Azure virtual machine unless I really have to, just in case something goes wrong in the demo. Okay, so where are we here? Okay, if I stop these two services and set them to disabled, that should stop everything from going. So let's close that off, and we'll just try again, just to prove what's happening here behind the scenes. Trying to sign you in, and an error. So you can see it couldn't find an agent, right? And the timeout period is relatively quick. It's like a second. So if it can't find an agent that quickly, it's going to dump you out to an error message. What we might do now is we might jump onto our secondary server, which I haven't done anything yet, and we're going to install another connector just to show you how easy it is to set up high availability. So I've got the connector downloaded here. You can see it's just sitting in this directory, so AAD Application Proxy Connector Installer. Now, you can install this manually by clicking through. However, I recommend this approach, which is to use the scripted approach, which seems to work more reliably. Now, keep in mind this is in preview, so things will change. So we'll run the first one. Yep. Okay, it's in quiet mode. So let's just make sure it's finishing up, or it shouldn't take long. It's a very lightweight. Okay, it looks like it's already done the trick. It didn't take long at all. Okay, and now I should be able to run this PowerShell script, which will register, or it'll try to register against Active Directory. So that's impressive. It's worked earlier. Sorry? Yeah, it's not. You're right. Sorry. Make sure it's in there. Yep, there it is. Okay, so it's going to prompt me for my authentication details, hopefully. Okay. I think working there I could spell Microsoft. Okay, it's got my credentials, and hopefully it'll do the check and finish registering any second now. Yep, done. So that should be done. So in theory now, if I go back over to here, I'll close it off just in case. There you go. You feel a tension right now? All right, come on, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah. So, all I needed to do there to load balance this was to install another 4 meg agent and do a quick connection. That's it, nothing else. And all that agent is going to do is quick, it's going to continually reach out to a service bus queue and say, have you got something for me? Have you got something for me? Have you got something for me? If there's something there, it pulls it back, performs the authentication against the domain controller, and then puts it back into another queue, allowing you to sign in. I did have a question earlier, which was, how does it do the authentication against Active Directory? Would it surprise you if I told you it did it with the Fire Kerberos? That's a yes? It does. And we'll get into that in just a second. It goes and polls, because inside your Azure Active Directory tenant, you have, through the AAD Connect wizard, we've specified we want to have pass-through authentication. When that happens, it does some magic behind the scenes that says, here's a service bus queue you're going to use, go and check that.
Yeah, you have to allow the firewall because you do not go out just like that.
That's right, but do you allow 443 outbound from your data center? Really? Okay.
From that one, you just...
Exactly. That's, well, it's much easier than allowing it inbound, isn't it? Yep. I don't know. I haven't tried yet. That's a good question. And it depends on the proxy. Some organizations have very complicated proxies. Yeah. Sorry? Yep. Yep. I had a look at it, and all you see is a lot of outbound web requests, right? And that's pretty much it. So let's talk about seamless SSO, which is a new feature that's just been introduced along with pass-through authentication. And that allows you to have single sign-on without ADFS, which has been something that's impossible previously. It utilizes your existing Active Directory infrastructure, and it's actually supported for both password authentication and password hash synchronization. Now, I'm going to skip this one. This is really just for you guys. I'm going to take you to the animated version. So when we're actually setting up seamless single sign-on, what's happening behind the scenes is a machine account is being created in your on-premises Active Directory. And at the same time, a Kerberos key is being securely stored in Azure Active Directory. We also have to set, inside group policy, certain sites to be inside the intranet zone for your browser. Now, I'll show you how to do that in just a second. That's the setup. It really is that simple. There are a couple of other things happening. For instance, there are SPNs and some delegation that's happening. If we have time, I'll try to show you those rather than discuss them here. How does it work at the actual runtime? Well, when a user enters their username and password in portal.microsoftonline.com or another service, straight after that, they're going to get a 401 response to go and get a Kerberos ticket. The user requests a Kerberos ticket from their domain controller. The domain controller is going to return their Kerberos ticket back to them. And then the user is sending that ticket up into Azure Active Directory's STS. And immediately, Azure AD STS returns a token back to the user, and based on that, that user is deemed to be authenticated. Right? And that's using Kerberos behind the scenes, so I'm not going to explain how that works because that would be a session in itself, but most of you, I think, it will take it at face value that Kerberos is a fairly secure protocol to establish authentication. Yep, great. If you want to ensure that clients sign in automatically, and when I mean sign in automatically, they go to a page and they'll be signed in. They don't have to enter their password. They may have to enter their username, which is just one of the problems you're going to have to deal with cloud-based services, because you need to establish an identity realm, and most services don't have that at the outset. I'm happy to talk about that later. But you will need to add certain sites into your internet zone and your group policy. Sorry? Sure.
I gave it to a user, and that lag time, they start typing their password, or it refreshes and they start typing their password in the username field. There is, you've got to, hang on a second.
Yeah, if you have hit tab on the JavaScript validation and it's not quite quick enough, you can type part of your password in. Yeah. That's another issue. Let's talk about that offline. Okay, what are the seamless sign-in scenarios? So you can see this is a little bit different now to the previous one which we had for ADFS, which is if you're inside the corporate network and you're on the corporate domain, you're going to get a single sign-on. If you're off the corporate domain, instead of falling back to NTLM, it's going to fall back to an HTML login page, right? That's a much better experience and a much more secure experience than falling back to Windows authentication. And lastly, if you're on the public internet, no matter if you're on the domain or off the domain, you're going to get an HTML login page that everyone's pretty familiar with, that Microsoft Services sign-in page. So let's go have a look at that. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to jump on my domain controller and do some group policy, because everyone loves group policy. And what we're going to do is we're going to drill down through the domains and edit the default domain policy. Right? Entirely up to you which policy you put it on. I'm putting it on default domain policy. And I'm going to drill down to user policies, administrative templates, Windows components, Internet Explorer, and then it's Internet Control Panel, and then security. Okay, and the property I'm going to find and change is the site to zone assignment list. And what I want to do is just quickly add some zone assignments in. Now I'm typing these manually, so there's lots of opportunity to screw it up. Okay, so auto login to Microsoft Azure AD-SSO.com, value 1, and AADG.WindowsNet. NSATC.net. Just make sure that's correct. Value 1. Okay, I'll click apply and I'll click OK. Fairly straightforward. What this is going to do is allow any browser, and this means Internet Explorer or Chrome, because they both use this setting, to automatically sign in as if they're part of the local intranet, signing into Microsoft online services. So let's just quickly go over to here. I'm just going to log off this guy and log back on. Now you notice I signed on as mRhodes/DanJ, not the same account I've been using for the other parts of the demo. And what I'm going to do, so open a command prompt quickly and just do a GP update. I know that's hard to see, but there's not really that much interesting things happening there. Now what I should be able to do, open up a browser. Oh, that's just charming. All right. What's everyone laughing at? Is it the underwear of it? Because, yeah, nothing. Okay, I'm going to outlook.com/mRhodes.net. So you can see it's waiting. Hopefully it's redirecting me. Okay, now that's the standard page, right? Everything's pretty much as you'd expect. And what I'm going to do is enter danj@mRhodes.net. And I'll hit tab. And you see straight away, no ADFS. Same experience as ADFS, isn't that it's redirected me off somewhere, but I haven't had to enter a password. That's fine. It's just a license hasn't been assigned to the mailbox. It's signed in. That's all I care about. You can see that user has been signed in. Right? And just to prove it, we can go to a different site quite easily. We go to portal.microsoftonline.com. Let it do its login. Yep, Yeah, so it's all signed in. No password entered. That's a fairly seamless experience, right? And as I said, you've got that problem of we had to define a realm for authentication, because going to Outlook.com is really no good. It needs to have the realm before it applies. Now, for pass-through authentication, currently the realm logic doesn't work. I'm imagining they'll fix that up at some point. Does device registration fix the realm part? I don't know. I'd have to get back to you. I'm sorry. Now, I'd like to show you something else. So that was no password, no ADFS, allowing me to sign in using on-premises credentials. It's fantastic. It works really well. What we can do quickly is, let me just make this a bit bigger. Now, this may or may not work. Let's see. If we hit K-REST, hopefully we can see a relevant ticket for this. Now, I've had intermittent luck getting this to work, but that's fine. I'll take you into the domain controls event logs and show you what's going on here. So if we go over here and we do a quick filter, we'll just do a refresh. We'll do a filter for event ID 4769. We'll scroll this up a bit, make it a bit bigger. Okay, so you can see we've had a login here from danj@emroads.net, account domain emroads.net, and you can see it's been done with something called Azure AD SSO ACC, which is the machine account that's being created for Kerberos to work in this regard. How are we doing for time? We don't have enough time to go any further in that, unfortunately, but I'd be happy to talk about it more afterwards. Sorry? That account is created through Azure Active Directory Connect during the wizard. Now, we'll quickly, just because it is, sorry, I just realized we have more time than I thought. We'll go and have a quick look. What's it called? Okay, so you can see an account's been created here. And obviously, I don't know what's going on there, but you have to trust me, it's working behind the scenes. You can see inside here we've actually got Kerberos tickets being generated here, so it is definitely working as expected. I imagine there's some service principles I'm not seeing there, and delegation is somewhere else. So, okay. All right, so as you can see, we were using a Kerberos token. Now, why is this important? Does anyone want to take a crack at why this is important? Nobody's game. At least I don't think they are. Security. That's actually a really good answer. It is about security. If you're transmitting your username and password in pretty much anything apart from Kerberos, right, inside your domain, it is subject to cracking or exposure or anything like that. So using Kerberos is one of the few methods that will ensure that your password is kept to yourself. So it's definitely the most secure method. Now, that is something that Microsoft has been trying to get rid of for almost 10 years, which is Windows authentication. Right? Kerberos is the preferred option here. We just can't seem to get rid of it. Not Kerberos. We can't seem to get rid of NTLM. Sorry. Okay, let's talk about Azure AD Connect. Now, do you remember when I talked about the Express settings earlier? And I was proved wrong by the wizard? Yep, great. A few people remember that. One of the nice features that was introduced in, I think it was January or February last year, was an auto upgrade process. Was anyone aware of this? Yeah, there we go. One guy knows. Or was it more than one? Yeah, a couple of guys knew. Right. If you install Azure Active Directory Connect and it's after that build, it will keep itself in sync and it will automatically update behind the scenes for you. Well, that's a good question. Depending on what you've enabled, you will either need to uninstall and reinstall, or you can try using PowerShell. There's a PowerShell command. I think I've got it in my notes. Yep. There are three states that it'll be set to. It is suspended, disabled, and enabled. Right? If it's enabled, obviously your auto updates are going through. You don't have to worry about it. Anytime an update comes out, it'll magically patch itself, and it'll be just peaches and cream, presumably. If it's set to suspended, that usually means that it's been turned off by someone manually. And if it's set to disabled, that's usually because it's no longer supported due to a customization that's been made. Now, for the most part, this will be supported for most installations. So as soon as pass-through authentication comes out of preview, I would imagine it will be a supported use case to go express through.
Small thing, when you open the wizard to change any settings, if you by chance happen to check PowerShell then, it sets it to suspended while ever that wizard is open.
Yes, it will. Yep. So that's actually a really good point. If you make any changes, well, if you open up the wizard, it will set the auto upgrade process while you're making changes to suspended so that it doesn't screw up the upgrade process just by chance them happening at the same time. One of the nice features also about these later builds is that they allow you to make changes if you've customized things. So you can go back and change your authentication options. It makes things really easy to switch between authentication models if you wanted to. Right. If you've got pass-through authentication and you would decide, I want to disable this for some reason, you can use the AAD Connect wizard. Run it again. In fact, I'll show you really quickly. All I have to do is fire this up. And you can see it's paused everything. So synchronization has been disabled and the update process will have been disabled. If I hit configure, I can change the user sign-in, or I can view the current configuration, or I can customize things. Very easy for me to go change user sign-in, and if I enter my username and password, it'll prompt me to change the sign-in mechanism I'm using currently. So back to automatic upgrades. Automatic upgrade is enabled by default for the following. When you've got an express setting installation, or if you've done a dirsync upgrade, it uses if you're using the SQL Express local database, if the AD account is the default MSOL account created by the express settings and dirsync, and you have less than 100,000 objects in the metaverse. Right, and what that means is that the actual agent connecting to Active Directory is bringing in less than 100,000 objects. Is anyone in more than that category? Nice. Yep. So auto upgrade is probably not going to be supported for you, but if you've got that many objects, you're probably not interested in software that automatically upgrades itself anyway. Okay, so in summary, we've gone through a whole heap of cloud identity scenarios and we've discussed the new features. In particular, we've paid a lot of focus on pass-through authentication and seamless single sign-on, which I think are fantastic additions to the authentication scenarios that are offered by Microsoft currently. AAD Connect enables you to install very, very easily and change between different authentication options with just a few clicks. It makes things much easier than they used to be. And lastly, if you're going for an authentication model, you need to think about choosing the simplest model that meets your business requirements. Now, due to the room being the way it is, I'll ask that if anyone has questions, come down to the front, I'll have a chat with you, rather than try and shout it out between us. But otherwise than that, thank you very much for your time. If you have any questions, come on down, and I hope to see you at the rest of the conference.